Greetings. Greg Coleridge here with an American Friends Service Committee interview. We have two special guests with us today, Dave Lima from Mentor and Becky Thomas from Chagrin Falls. Both are Ohio communities for those of you who may be listening outside the state. Both Becky and Dave helped lead efforts working with many others this past Tuesday in the passage in their respective communities of ballot measures, calling on Congress to enact an amendment to the U.S. Constitution, declaring that corporate entities are not persons and that money is not speech. These efforts are consistent with those promoted by the National Move to Amend Coalition that AFSC has been very involved with since its inception and that have been passed elsewhere in Ohio and across the nation. Welcome, Becky and Dave.
Thank you, Greg. Thank you. Glad to be here.
I'd like to begin by asking if each of you could briefly share how or why you became interested in the issues of corporate personhood and money as speech. So, Dave, how about we start with
you? Well, I was involved in the 2012 political campaign at the presidential level, and a friend of mine who was also involved very aware of the vast amounts of money that were being spent, and estimates that I've heard is $8 billion to $60 billion, who knows, but vast amounts of money. And we said to each other, we got to do something about this in our local community. My friend had already been, was already aware of Move to Amend nationally, and we decided we were going to take a rest and get started after the first of the year. So in January of 2013, he and I met and invited a number of other people to get together in my living room. And that's how we got started.
Can't get more grassroots than that.
Right.
Becky, how did you get
mine sort of started back when we were on the same committee, Greg, with lots of other people for campaign finance reform for Cuyahoga County. And we were trying to get them to agree to do public funding of elections. And we'd done a lot of research and a lot of conferences and a lot of arguing and discussing, and we never could quite convince them. But that's when I first became aware of that whole movement. And then because of you, Greg, I became aware of Move to Amend. And some communities around us, like Cleveland Heights and Brecksville and places like that, were doing it. This was a couple of years ago. And so we, a group of us in Chagrin, wanted to try to do something. We feel frustrated in a way in our community because we have a small voice. And we thought it would be a great way to do a sort of nonpartisan awareness in our community of what's out there that's a little bigger than Chagrin Falls, and bring it to people's attention. And so that's why we did it.
And both of you did it very effectively, and certainly spreading the word beyond your own respective communities. Why did you and those who you have worked with decide to launch a citizens' initiative campaign as opposed to, say, what some communities have done on issues like this, simply going to, you know, your respective city councils and trying to get a resolution passed? Why a citizens' initiative campaign as a strategy? Becky.
I'll go first.
Oh, okay.
We certainly were aware of actions over in Brecksville and how city council pretty much was in opposition to doing anything, and noticed that their initiative plans were actually a great form of education for the community. People knew about what was going on. And when we thought about a resolution by city council, we thought that would be done quietly. A council resolution might not have much teeth in it. And so we thought an initiative petition that would actually create an ordinance in the city that the council would be required to follow would be a much more effective, more difficult to do since we had to collect signatures, we had to get voters to vote for it, but it would be a much more effective way of obtaining the end result, which would be the public hearing that would occur periodically and letters sent to our representatives informing them of the citizenry of Mentor's intent to see a constitutional amendment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, David, ours was fairly similar. We went actually to the council first, knowing that they would have no interest in passing any kind of resolution. In fact, one of our council members said, do we really have to do this? Even after we'd gotten all the signatures and they had to just okay it, you know, legally okay it. He said, we don't have to do this, do we? We said, well, you know, it's a democratic way. It's legal. So we knew we didn't have a chance of getting the council to do a resolution. But for the same reasons that you did about educating the public and getting them involved and wanting them to have an open meeting every other year to discuss politics and money and even maybe some local stuff, although the people that run for office in Chagrin Falls probably spend about $200 on their elections. It certainly isn't relevant to local politics, but that it is obviously in a much broader way. So same kind of reasons.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and those stories are similar to those that have been shared by others in other communities. It's a way mm-hmm. to leverage and use the initiative as a starting point to educate and to spread the word and really to change the culture, because unless you change the culture, you know, we're really not going to be able to change the political landscape or
right, climate. Right, exactly. Or,
so this is just a perfect tool.
We actually realized that we were only the second initiative petition in the whole history of Chagrin, and the only one that ever had happened before was about some property use, you know, wanting to use a particular government building for some other purpose, like yoga or something. That was the only other one. So that was pretty cool. We liked that.
Yeah, and similarly here in Mentor, I think the finance director, the person that we deposited our initial ballot petition a copy with, indicated that they didn't really have much experience with this. He only recalled in his history of having one other initiative petition.
Isn't that something where citizens, mm-hmm. you know, it's a means to do an end run around, mm-hmm. you know, representative democracy to have direct democracy. And just
yes, yes. Yeah.
Kind of a side note, I noticed a couple in just sort of scanning the results from the past election at a municipal level, there were a couple communities that had initiatives on the ballot to change their charters, and among those charter changes were making it more difficult for citizens to do direct initiative campaigns.
Is that right?
Is that right?
Yep. Well, fortunately for us in Mentor, there are no ordinances that make getting an initiative petition going difficult. It pretty much says we just go along with what the state says.
It does, yeah.
Exactly. I hope that never happens. Oh, well.
We'll see, but anyway.
Yeah.
Kind of moving on, as each of you spoke with citizens and voters in either the petition gathering phase or voter education phases of your campaigns, was there anything that particularly surprised you about people's views or attitudes on these issues? Becky, how about you first?
It ran the gamut. And luckily, we didn't have to get that many signatures because we're such a tiny community. We have fewer than 4,000 people, so we only needed to get about 300 signatures. Sorry, Dave. I know you need a lot more.
We have a few more.
Yeah, a few more. But so we actually, you know, really talked to a lot of people, and it ran the gamut from some people saying, well, I'm not going to vote for your idea, but I think you have the right to have it on the ballot, to a couple lawyers who said, I'm not signing anything until I read the whole thing, and I've got to study it, and so on and so on, and maybe you could get back to me at another time. To people that we were not even aware of in our community that were so excited about it, they just were jumping up and down saying, oh, my gosh, thanks so much for doing this. This is great. We've got to get money out of politics and, you know, that kind of thing. So it was probably typical of responses.
Mm-hmm. Yes. One of the things that my friend and I, Frank Rebar, knew was that nationwide there was about an 80 or 85% in polling that thought there was too much money in politics. So one of the things that we did was when we were collecting signatures, we had signs that we had were made that said, too much money in politics, ? Sign our petition. And although this wasn't a surprise because we knew what the national polls were, it was so gratifying to stand there. People would look at your sign and they'd come up and sign the petition because we picked a phrase that was in sync with the vast, vast majority of the population. So I thought it would be, I guess the surprise was that I thought it would be much harder to get signatures than it was.
Well, maybe relatively speaking, it's a little bit easier in Ohio given the onslaught of political ads that came our way 2 years ago. And certainly,
that's right.
People are so sick of them.
And yeah, people are
mm-hmm.
so sick of them.
Yes, absolutely.
It's all that outside money coming as a result of Post Citizens United decision back in 2010 were seemingly focused on negative ads, attack ads. That
yeah,
were
yeah.
Just so disheartening and insulting in some cases. And
yes, that's true.
So,
yeah, I've heard a lot of that, that people never say what they're for. They only attack their opponent. You know, never say anything positive about what they would do if they got in office, but just everything that the other person did that was wrong.
No, right.
Yeah.
Why do you think in these particularly political partisan times, which certainly wasn't just 2 years ago, but even this election that we just went through ending a couple days ago, why do you think that in given these times that in each of your communities, in Chagrin Falls it was 66% in support, and in Mentor 70%, I mean, however you define it, that is in every political book considered a landslide. Why do you think that this effort and this measure received such a large percentage of support? Dave?
Well, I think, as we know, Congress, the president, they're all, the Republican Party, the Democratic Party, they're all rated very low. And I think that most people are pretty disgusted with what has been happening in our political system. And when you focus on the whole idea of corporate personhood, and when you focus on the idea of this onslaught of money, it provides a target for people's disgust or their dismay, say, oh yeah, you know, that is one of the big, that's one of the reasons why I'm so unhappy. So I think it just kind of fits right in with their psychology, fits right in with their views, and even in the current political times, how things have shifted to the right, we have people who are still upset. And I think that our particular target of corporate personhood and money as speech really fit right in with their upsettedness.
Yeah, I agree, Dave. And in particular in Chagrin, we had one other issue that was a local issue, raising taxes just a tiny bit on working people because we were lacking $700,000 because of the loss of the local tax from the state and the estate tax being cut. So, all, you know, like all little communities everywhere, all local communities had lost so much money because of the state not giving what they used to give and the estate taxes being cut. So they had another issue 33, which was right before ours, And when we talked to people the week before the election, they just kept saying, how much is this going to cost me? Because that's all they really cared about was, is this going to be something else that's going to cost me something? And we kept saying, no, this isn't going to cost you anything. This is to get money out of politics. And this is a philosophical argument. And we know it's small. We know it's great grassroots. And we know it's going to take a long time to bring to the national attention. But I think they just liked the idea that they had a voice, you know, in something that maybe could change someday, even though some of them thought we were fairly unrealistic about making any change soon.
Well, I always say that I'm like an old man who plants a tree with knowing very well that I'm not going to sit under its shade.
Exactly. A lot of us are in our 60s and 70s, and we said the same thing. We might not live to see this change, but,
no,
but just think
right.
about it, you know.
Maybe true. On the other hand, maybe the seeds you've been planting and that we're all planting are more like bamboo.
Yeah, wouldn't that be great?
Well, I would love that.
They're pretty strong.
Oh, great.
Strong,
yep.
Strong and bend, but don't break. So.
Yeah. And grow.
Well, you know, there is such a thing as geometric progression. So things spread out, you know. They do spread out. And,
yeah, they do.
And it certainly has been spreading all over. You know.
It has.
Yes,
it has.
Actually, I'm extremely encouraged by what has happened around the country, in addition to what happened here in our two communities. I'm kind of psyched up here for what we can do as we move forward.
Right.
Well, that's good.
I just got another email from Move to Amend, and a lot of other places this happened. It was really neat, really, really
yeah,
neat.
You all are the fifth and sixth communities just in Ohio, Brecksville,
mm-hmm.
Defiance, Cleveland Heights, and Newburgh Heights had previously.
Mm-hmm. Not
right.
Shaker? And the Shaker did not do this?
Not yet. They're working
okay.
Next year for 2015.
Okay.
Like
that's I always forget about Shaker. Okay.
Yeah. Now, there's a couple – your ballot measures had – I guess you could say, as many of these in Ohio anyway, two main provisions. The first called on calling on Congress or just informing Congress that the people of your respective communities voted on this ordinance calling on Congress to pass a constitutional amendment to declare corporations are not people, corporate entities are not people, and money is not speech. But there's
right.
another provision in each of your ballot measures similar to what has been enacted elsewhere. Could each of you talk about what that is? It's pretty similar in each of your communities. And tell us about what your plans are for implementing that second provision.
Dave, do you want to go first?
Dave. Oh,
sure. Okay. yes, we're expecting to work cooperatively with City Council. We're hoping that they'll invite us to work cooperatively with them in setting up whatever kinds of provisions or systems that they come up with to implement this February forum or February public hearing where two members from City Council will give testimony as to local impact of money on local issues and local races, and then allow Mentor residents for up to 5 minutes to speak on this topic of money in politics. And our council indicated that they wouldn't do this on their own, but that if the voters approved it, they certainly would not be in opposition. And we're expecting that we'll get invited to at least participate in the planning for the February forum.
Mm-hmm. Dave, we weren't as specific as you were. We started out being more specific, and then we got feedback from a bunch of people saying we thought they'd have a better chance of passing it if we weren't as specific about which month and all of that. But we will obviously, after January, encourage them to set a date And we have a similar, you know, similar plan. We were hoping it would be in our town hall. We have this township hall that has this really historic history, and it's a wonderful meeting place. And so we were hoping it would be there. We were hoping, obviously, that somebody from council would be on it. The Brecksville model was a really interesting one. They had a panel, I guess, and they had over 100 people showed up, and it was really well attended, and people were so enthusiastic that they stayed for hours. So I don't know if we'll get that kind of attendance, but I think it'll build slowly. But it'll just be a wonderful venue. I mean, I know there are a lot of people in Chagrin who are really angry at the council right now, so I hope it doesn't turn into, you know, a gripe
uh-huh.
system.
Yeah.
Where they just come and vent. I don't want that to happen. So we need leadership that will focus the discussion and keep it relevant to what we're supposed to be talking about. So we're just going to wait until the new year and then invite them to get going on the idea.
Right. And here I'm sure that council will set up some sort of a registration system so the people who want to talk will probably have to register and, of course, not exceed their five-minute time limit. But we're going to Mentor Move to Amend. We'll be working with a number of not only our members but other people in the community and encouraging them to register to speak when the time comes and the procedure is set.
That's interesting. I think we probably will use more of a Lee Women Voters model where people can either write their question down and then somebody will present the question, or people can come up to a microphone.
Mm-hmm.
And as long as they're, we'll certainly set guidelines for civility and time limits, but you know, where somebody stands up and holds up a card and says, your time is up, you know, that kind of thing that the league does when there's a voters candidate forum. So I think that's kind of the model we'll use, but we'll just have to see.
Mm-hmm.
Did each of your initiatives include any specific language of what this public hearing or the day of the public hearing is to be called or dubbed in other communities? It's been labeled, you know, quote-unquote, Democracy Day or something like that.
Yes, that is what we called ours, Democracy Day. So, and the ordinance says that council will set aside a specific day entitled Democracy Day and then advertise that event 1 month in advance, not only in the city website, but also on other media.
Mm-hmm. And is it annually or every other year?
No, it's every other year, biennially.
Yeah.
Following the federal general election each February, following the federal general election.
Mm-hmm. Ours is biennial as well.
Biennial as well. Yeah, most of the other communities, I think, is Cleveland Heights may be the only one.
Annual.
Annual. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, they have
I think they're thinking in a couple communities, this year actually may be, there'll be a couple going on, I think, but where they're being planned, there's some thinking about trying to use the day to reach out to like maybe the high school to say, well, here's an example of sort of democracy in action where people show up and testify, so why not, you know, let your senior civics class students know about it?
You know, that's interesting. We did that for our issue. We went to the senior civics class and the debate club, actually, and found out that the debate club in the past few months had been already debating the Citizens United idea.
Oh.
And so we were really excited because we thought maybe we could invite them to our debate. We had a debate as a public outreach, and we thought the kids could come and do their thing, but it was a little bit too late for them to be able to fit it in. But I think high school kids for sure should be involved. At least they can get extra credit for coming to the meeting anyway.
Right, and we Frank and I did a presentation on movement building at Lakeland Community College. to a sociology, political science group of students. And one of the things that we're hoping to be able to do is to do this same presentation in the high schools as well. We're going to at least look into that and see if that's a possibility.
That's a great idea.
Great, yeah. Well, last question for you both is, why do you think these are issues, that of corporate personhood, money is speech, and a strategy, that of a local ballot initiative, citizens initiative, grassroots level, that concern citizens elsewhere here in Ohio and beyond should be working on, at least in part, right now? Becky, how about start with you?
Well, I think it's going to be a long process, and I do think people are motivated about this issue just for the same reasons that Dave said, that people are so apathetic and angry about elections. And, I mean, even this midterm, there were $4 billion spent on this midterm election. So it's almost going to gag us, I think.
That we know about.
That we know about, exactly. I think it's going to be horrendous to see what's going to happen in the next presidential election, but it's already started. So I do think, I hope it gives people a motive to get out of the apathy that they are feeling right now. I think people are feeling very unempowered, if there is such a word, that they cannot make a difference. I mean, a lot of my friends who are always vote, but they always say, why am I doing this? You know, it doesn't make a difference, because it just seems so grim right now with the inaction of Congress and the gridlock and polarization all over the place. So I think at least these grassroots movements and trying to get public funding of elections gives people hope.
Dave?
Yeah, you know, the pendulum has swung pretty far to the right, and the more the pendulum swings to this influx of money, I think it will provide an impetus and force to move back to the middle. An interesting book by Ornstein and Mann, It's Worse Than You Think, I think that's the title of it. You know, their whole idea is how to reduce polarization. And the more polarized we become, I think we have, it actually works in favor of moving back to the middle. And I think our movement will be actually strengthened by the expenditure of more and more and more money as people get more and more disgusted with the amount of money. Mm-hmm. I think that will actually strengthen our movement.
Mm-hmm. Hope you're right.
Yep, undoubtedly.
It kind of a, well, it's a hope.
Yep.
Yeah, but
yep.
But that's true, though. It can only swing so far.
That's right.
Yeah,
before it becomes so obvious and blatant. And
right.
Exactly.
You can't ignore it anymore. Yeah, exactly.
Well, is there anything else that we haven't touched on that you'd like to each comment about?
Well, I just emailed my son, who emailed me congrats on the victory. And in it, I indicated to him that same sentiment that, and he lives in New York City, but he said he thinks that some stuff is going on in the city that's very similar to what we've done. And I said back to him, I'm glad I don't have to collect the signatures.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah,
well, they do have a very progressive mayor, so it should be interesting.
Yes.
He won't be paying for things out of his pocket, like the last one did.
Well, every place that this has gotten on the ballot so far, this uh-huh. is to amend type of wording has been a little bit different, but the basic concepts are the same, of that calling for an end to both of these constitutional doctrines, corporate personhood and money of speech. Wherever this has reached the ballot, mm-hmm. it has succeeded.
I know.
Yes.
It was so
scary. And overwhelmingly.
Overwhelmingly.
Yeah, overwhelmingly. And we were so afraid we were going to be the first then.
So it just
well, we thought about that too.
Yeah, yeah.
But we don't want to be the first to not pass it.
Exactly. What a horrible mess.
So if anyone is listening, wants to try to do in their communities what you all have done in yours, give us a call.
Absolutely. We'd be more than happy to help everybody.
That's right.
You bet. You bet.
Put them in touch with those who are close at hand to communities where this has passed to provide some shepherding. So give our office a call, 330-928-2301. Dave and Becky, thanks to you both.
Thank you, Greg.
Thank you, Greg.